Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, indeed, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I'm really glad to continue this topic we've been on, the Triple Dipper, today. The first section of the Triple Dipper is the world of COVID. And I talked about what the press reports are saying about trends in COVID numbers in Alabama, and then looked around the world and also looked at what's happening with, you know, nations and other locales that are reducing their restrictions. But I want to talk to somebody who's been on the show several times before about what he's seeing actually as a practicing a medical practitioner right now. Dr. Jordan Vaughn with MedHelp Clinics. He's the owner and operator of MedHelp Clinics in Birmingham area. He's a graduate of the University of Alabama School of Medicine. His specialty is internal medicine. And he's also affiliated with a group called Concerned Doctors, which have had quite a voice in talking about providing a robust treatment of COVID and not just limiting yourself to one or two options. Anyway, that being said, let me welcome him on, Dr. Jordan Vaughn. Dr. Vaughn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me again, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for making time. Listen, Doc, one of the things that I pointed out to the audience is that press reports that I cited earlier right here in Alabama say that we're seeing about a 5% decrease in hospitalizations and about a 9% decrease in positive tests. And I just wonder, you know, with all your clinics around the Birmingham area, major population center, what are you seeing? Do you think we're trending in the right direction?
Yeah, I would say even that data from the state is probably delayed. I mean, I'm kind of on the front line of actually testing demand. And compared to last week, as well as the week before last, I mean, it's down probably 50%+. And then our positivity rate is significantly down as well.
So. Oh, gosh. Well, that's nothing but good news then. I don't know. I mean, we've got the Omicron variant right now, and I'm hearing there's another version of Omicron variant overseas. But so basically, is this one as contagious as it is? Is it burning itself out right now, or are we just seeing a populace that is more resistant? What are you thinking?
It appears. I mean, you know, reading the stuff coming out of Europe. I mean, even Tuesday there was a Danish from Denmark, a household study of 8,500 people, and it looks like the new BA.2 variant. It seems to be the biggest benefit of that is that the unvaccinated seem to be the least likely to get it, and the vaccinated seem to be more likely to get it, and the boosted especially likely to get it. So,
wow.
Which is the first time we've seen where probably even statistically the odds ratio of getting the virus is basically only for the vaccinated.
What would you attribute that? That just sounds odd to me.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, you have a European Union that has a lot of vaccinated people, and vaccinated people may be the last ones in line to get the inevitable.
Okay. I think I see where you're going. Well, listen, speaking of vaccinations, a story out just, I guess, yesterday, Pfizer is seeking EUSA or emergency use authorization from the FDA for a version of the vaccine that would be for children 6 months through 4 years old. And that feels extreme to me. I know that we vaccinate our kids for other things, but this is an EUSA. This is not one that has gone through extensive trials and testing.
It's actually more concerning than that. The FDA sought out Pfizer to give input on a third dose. So what they actually announced yesterday had nothing to do with the first two doses, but the fact that the first two doses were inadequate, the FDA actually asked them to get data, what they would call a rolling enrollment, which is kind of a weird trial way to add more data in the midst of an ongoing trial, because the data itself was inadequate with two doses. So they said, hey, let's add a third dose and see if maybe then we get what we want. And to do that in the midst of the ongoing trial for two doses, they said, hey, let's, because the data is inadequate, and it's weird because actually the 6 month to 2 year olds do fine, but it's weird that the 2 to 5 year olds have a different immune response than 6 month to 2 year olds. Well, again, as a physician, early childhood is a very dynamic period. It's not surprising that, you know, kids would have different responses to different vaccines, but it is unusual in vaccine studies to see responses this divergent. And so what they said, the FDA actually requesting the company to say, hey, can you get us a third dose data, is concerning, because I honestly thought the FDA was the one that was supposed to be looking out for us, not requesting from a company to add additional data so they might meet the criteria that they want.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just smells. In fact, the press release that I read said that, in fact, it was a press release from Pfizer, so I took that with a huge grain of salt right there. But it said that cases or hospitalizations among children under 5 years old are soaring nationwide. And I thought, I have not seen anything that says they're soaring. I mean, I try to study this on a regular basis.
Soaring is a relative number soaring versus an actual incidence. And again, you have to understand, in most of these trials, when they're telling you a relative risk reduction, what you have to ask for is an absolute risk reduction. Because again, you know, going from 2 to 1 is a significant reduction. But if you only have 2 cases in 300 million people, you know, would everybody take something that might have some adverse events to reduce 1 case in a 300 million person population? Now, the statistics say that's 100% reduction. Does that make sense? But
yeah,
the reality is what they're usually doing with these trials is, if the data on actual absolute risk reduction doesn't look great, what they'll do is turn to relative risk reduction. And that makes the number look really good to us, where it's in the 90s. But the absolute risk reduction might be less than 1%.
Well, and to answer your question about 2 down to 1, I think in New Zealand they would say yes to that. But it depends on where you are.
Who's making the decision on what I assume? And the interesting thing was, even in the Pfizer press release, which was, you know, they actually wanted to balance the benefits versus risk, because again, the dosage that they're giving these kids is 10 times less than they give an adult. Well, it is interesting that Pfizer is admitting that there is some risk to their vaccine, because if you listen to our health and public policy people, they say there's no risk. It's perfectly safe. Well, if it's really perfectly safe, why are we reducing the dose to a different age group? Because, you know, the way I would look at it is, if you're saying it's 100% safe, then you can't, you know, admit there's risk. But even Pfizer's admitting, hey, we got to reduce this dose or we're going to hurt people or hurt kids. And in that, you know, in that case, they are admitting, hey, you know what, this thing can hurt people.
Well, and I'm pretty sure, and I said on the show before you came on, that if they think that a vaccine mandate as to adults got enough blowback, wait till they try to do it against parents of 6-month-olds. I don't think it's going to fly.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, the one thing that I think people are still good at is being parents to look after their children.
Man.
And as, you know, disconcerting it is to the public health officials that no one wants to vaccinate their children because there's not enough data, I would actually say that is a good sign in our society.
Well, and a great point. And let me ask you one more thing, Doc, before we run out of time here. An article that I read earlier quoted Dr. Stubblefield from the Department of Public Health here in Alabama. And he was talking about the fact that there has been a reduction in our positive testing numbers, which I'm glad to hear you're seeing an even higher trend down than what he was reporting. Nonetheless, he made the point, he can't explain it yet. He said, perhaps the virus is just running out of people to infect. And the first thing I thought was, isn't that the definition of herd immunity, which I never hear that term anymore. At what point are we at herd immunity, and are we there?
Again, I mean, it goes back to, yes, I mean, the virus itself is eventually going to have a limited number of people to infect. And again, I think even, as I would say, in my statistics with Omicron, probably 80% of the people we saw were vaccinated that got it. So it's almost like this Omicron BA1, which now in BA2 in Europe, seems to have finally even run out of vaccinated people to infect.
Wow. It's It's the darndest thing. But I tell you what, though, Doc, and I'm not a doctor. I'm an attorney, but I did not even stay at a Holiday Inn Express, so I'm not going to try and put an MD on my name. But the reality is this. I do reject Dr. Fauci. I played a clip from him earlier today. He said we may never get back to normal, and I do believe the society is looking for normal and normal as we knew it, not normal as they want us to know it.
Yes, agreed. And I would say normal, and I do this all the time, even as this virus leaves the, you know, our kind of mindset, what you have to understand is the things that made you frustrated and annoyed about how your doctor and how your healthcare community was responding, those are not going away until you fight back. And in that case, you need to fight for your uniqueness and your desire for your doctor to take care of you in the exam room and not to be somebody that shills out to the public and pharmacy and academic medicine.
Wow. What a perfect way to close this segment. Dr. Jordan Vaughn with MedHelp Clinics down in the Birmingham area. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you as always.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Well, if that wasn't a great interview, hey, Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. Listen, I'm going to be switching to the next round of the Triple Dipper, talking about crime as a war zone, but I'm just going to tell you, I've gotten to where I love having him on the show. He's a breath of fresh air. And by the way, the things you heard him say, he has been willing to say since day one. And you know what it's done to his practice? It's helped it. That's exactly what it's done. All these docs out there who did not have the spine to say, I will treat you in accordance with what I believe is best for you, let's talk, who just did like what he said, who shilled themselves out to the public narrative. Well, I got news. He and others like him didn't, and their practice has thrived. What does that tell you? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.